Hello, 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 and welcome to Let's Talk. I'm your host, Derek Jackson, and today is hump day, y'all. It is hump day, and I hope everybody is having a great, great day. 2 days before the holiday. Listen to me. 2 days before the what? The weekend. And yes, y'all, the weekend. Well, thank you for listening. I'm your host, Derek Jackson, and today we have one outstanding, standing show for you today, and I hope all of you are enjoying it. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can dial in at 347-838-8622. Hit me at ericletstalk@gmail.com, or you join me in my chat room today. Just go to your social media site, log in, and join me in the chat room. We can have some great conversation there as well. Okay? Now, today's topic is one of those great topics I always like to talk about. And it's going to be another great one, y'all. It's African Americans. Why we don't want to read? Huh? Basically, why we don't want to read? You know, that's the topic today. And I'm looking for some great conversation, some great insight on this topic, because this is something that's very important to us in our community. So, with that being said, let's go and get started today. Now, before I go ahead and get started talking about the subject, I want to correct something I said yesterday about these new LeBron X tennis shoes that's coming out. I stated earlier that they were $350. Well, I'm going to change that. They're $315, okay? That's right, $315. Now, check this out, y'all. These tennis shoes are supposedly... All right, these tennis shoes are supposed to be able to tell you how high you can jump, right? Whatever, y'all. But Nike making a cheaper pair, so for those who really considering buying them, $180, y'all. That's a cheap pair for you. So if that's what you want to spend your money on, you go right ahead. I ain't holding against you. Now, how accurate this shoe is going to be measuring how vertical you can jump, I don't know. But, hey, it's all good. Wow. I haven't even started the show yet, and I got me a caller on the line. That's what I'm talking about right there. So let's see who we got on the line with us already. Good afternoon. Happy hump day. This is Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Eric. Are you speaking to me?
Yes, I am.
Hey, this should be your slot. You're one of the better, if not the best, shows for this particular slot. At any rate, that's just an observation. I think you can check your bandwidth and the number of people that are listening. But at any rate, I can go ahead and knock this one way out of the park. and I'm hitting it twice the length of a home run, by the way. At any rate, what you have here is, and this is not true of all blacks. I like to use the term blacks as Dr. Claude Anderson does, because a white person from South Africa in America is an African American.
Good
and
point.
They get particular benefits by being nomenclatured as such. But at any rate, the reason American blacks don't like to read is because reading forces one to think, and blacks tend to be more emotional than thought involved. And again, if you read means researching. It means being mature. I can read a book, and it's like having an intelligent conversation, obviously, with the researcher, with the author. And blacks tend to shy away from reading because it forces one to get out of their feelings, as it were, and to get into the other higher self, which is the thought mode. That sheds light. That brings light and illumination. And it makes many blacks uncomfortable to enter into that process. You follow me?
I'm following you. And before you go any further, hey, everybody, if you don't know, that's Mr. Solution, one of my dedicated followers. And anytime he's on air, man, he's putting out some serious knowledge. So we want to go ahead and acknowledge Mr. Solution, you know, because I'm sure he has a lot to say on this subject. But Mr. Solution, before you get started, let me, and you brought it in pretty nice, but let me go on and get a little spill out the way first, and then you can have it after that. We just go from there. That's okay?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Now, you know, like Mr. Solution said, you know, reading, we have a problem with reading because, like you say, we don't like to take the time to sit down, read and study and understand things, you know. And I found a little saying from The Art of War by the Chinese militant Sun Tzu, I think. And he said, you know, when the general is weak and without authority, when his orders are not clear and distinct, when there are no fixed duties assigned to officers and men, and the ranks are formed in slovenly, haphazard manner, the result is utter disorganization. And the reason I picked that, you know, because basically without reading and being knowledgeable in anything, that's basically what we have in our community is disorganization. And I'm sure Mr. Solution is going to talk a little further on that, I'm quite sure. But, you know, one of the most basic foundations of power in the world comes from knowing information and controlling it. You know, so with that little spill out the way, go ahead, Mr. Solution. And I know you're chomping at the bit to get in on this, so go ahead. We're going to go back and forth on this one. So you go ahead and get it started.
I'm only going to deal in fact. I'm only going to deal in essences. In metaphysics, there are two entities, mind and matter.
Mm-hmm.
Mind is active and alive. Matter is inert. Mind acts upon matter to form it and shape it. And so what happens when you're dealing in the realm of ideas, unless people are trained to do that, that forces you to become a better you if one reads. And writing also can be used because it's definitely connected there, obviously. And writing is what you call mirroring the soul. Your soul can be expressed in your writings, who you are, what you think, and so on and so forth. You know, you've heard the old adage, reading is fundamental. So reading, writing,
exactly.
Reading, writing, thinking, and speaking, all of those they're interconnected. The better you read, the better you write, the better one speaks, all things being equal. And it forces you, like I say, to stop being emotional and to be reasonable. You notice a lot of people you talk to and you can't reason with them, they're generally bad readers. Generally,
right.
That's the case because they can't think. Reading helps one think. It helps you grow in your thought processes because it adds to one's vocabulary. Vocabulary is very, very important. And if you go to college and you don't study an academic field that's linked with a trade, it's all about words. It's all words. It's academic. You follow me?
I'm following you. Go right
That's
ahead.
That's why I've often said if your kid goes off to school and comes back speaking the same way they did before they left, you deserve a refund.
That is very true. Very true.
Oh, yeah. So that's the thing. Now, I'll tell you what really helped me. Even though I was in college, I started reading actually the Bible. And don't poo-poo that because the Bible used to be the basic reading tool, the educational tool for people who became educated. And I started reading that old Elizabethan English. Like if I were to use the word hearken or a number of other words, it forces you to study. You have to study that language. And as a result of that, you increase your word power. And words increase one's understanding, all things being equal. You have to have words. It goes back to the old nature, nurture. I'm sorry, strike that. It goes back to the linguistic relativism linguistic. In other words, do thoughts dictate Does language dictate your thoughts, or do thoughts dictate one's language?
Oh,
and obviously, it has to do with your thoughts, and your words help to form your thoughts. Your language helps to form your thoughts. And language is phenomenological, by the way. Language in and of itself is a phenomena. But at any rate, those are some fundamental principles that get back to reading. A group of people who read will be advanced. It's more God-like to read. God talks about what? His word. You constantly hear God say, I've exalted my word above my name. Or
go ahead now.
Excuse me?
I said, go ahead, Mr. Solution. Go ahead and put it on out there. Go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. This is, words transcend reality, actually. Words actually transcend reality. Because that's what God has given us to communicate with him and with each other. So it's very, very important to read. Remember, God's word is in a what? A book.
A book. There you go. Not a book. You are correct.
Right. Or the book.
The book. The number one book.
Yeah, definite article, the. And so I'm not, English is one, let me just say this. Let me just share something briefly with you, may I?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, English is what you call a, English is a scientific language. When English is spoken properly, it is a series of factual utterances, only interrupted by an interrogatory to gain enough information to utter a fact. Now, we may play with English, not understanding its real value, but English is a superbly important language. English is the international aviation language. Every pilot must speak English. English is the international business language. All business people speak English. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I shared that with you before.
Yes.
So the point of it is that in English, the of the four sentences that you have, declarative, interrogative, imperative, and exclamatory, three of those sentences are the same. In fact, they make a statement. They utter a statement. And the interrogative is asking a question in order to gain enough information to utter a factual statement. So English itself is a very, very important language. It's analogous to Greek, old Greek, what they call Koine Greek, in that it is very, very specific. You can say most anything in English more succinctly than in any other language. A lot of languages are romantic languages. You take Spanish, French, what's another one? Italian. A lot of those languages, and nothing's wrong with that.
Correct.
They more or less express beauty, and they force things into an unnatural reality. But English, by the way, is a scientific language. So very important distinction.
Very good. I like that. You know what, though, Mr. Solution? I mean, since we're getting into this thing here, you know, as far as the reading itself, you know, and you've made some great points, but it's a point to where I think it's not that a lot of Black Americans, you know, it's not that they can't read, they just don't choose to read. You know, they, for some reason, they see no use for it. To them,
yeah, but what I just said, reading forces one to be more mature.
Right.
If you just want to be silly and a whole lot of feel-goodism, emotion are like the sugar in a diet.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have much nutritional value. It tastes good. It's sweet. If you allowed some little children, they would overdose on sugar. Many do.
Mm-hmm.
But as a parent, know that a child needs vegetables. They need a balanced diet. And so what happens to American Blacks is they mostly use language for games and kicks.
Mm.
Reading requires work, because when you're reading, you're forced to think. You're being challenged to think.
Right.
That means you can't be narcissistic. You can't be totally selfish. So when you come to the table to read, and remember, any book is not just a book. Any book is a compilation of information, because it requires research to put together a book, if the book is worth anything. So you're dealing with a whole slew of people that have put their minds together to produce this information. So when you start reading under the force of the weight and the momentum of the very information, the power of the information that's being transmitted, it forces you to do some work. It forces you to step outside of your little world and step into a larger world. You follow me?
I'm following you.
So a lot of people don't want to do that. So the way they do, they shut off reading and thinking too. Because if you talk with a good author or any intelligent person, you're talking with a resource and a source. And people who want to always bitch and moan and complain, and who don't want to become empowered, they won't have intelligent conversation. They won't read. You should always read. You should always research.
Always. It
helps you to grow. And I like what Robert Kiyosaki, even though he talks about money mainly, he gives a lot of what I call a philosophical information. And he says, no matter what you do, you keep studying so you can develop better formulae, the plural of formula,
right,
in order to do an existing thing better. In other words, you're constantly upgrading yourself. And that's what reading allows one to do. It keeps one current.
Very good. All right, Mrs. Lucian, hold on. I got another call on the line. So let's see what they got to add to the conversation today. Hello, caller. You're listening to Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Hey, hello, Eric. My name's Joe.
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
How you doing?
Can I
change the subject for just a second, and then we can get right back on it?
Okay. What you want to talk about there, Joe?
I just want to say, Rich, what did you do to my girl, Debbie?
What?
Hey, I put the Jedi mind trick on Debbie. I told Debbie the truth.
Yeah, well, she was. I've gotten to like Debbie over the years, even though I can understand why you're mad at her. And I'm not here to discuss Debbie's and Rich's relationship. I just wanted to throw that out as a joke. So we'll get back to the topic at hand.
By the way, it's ongoing, though, Joe. I drop by on occasion.
Yeah, she plays clips of you like she used to play clips of me. She hates to be upended, so, you know.
Wow.
Well, anyway.
Okay, Joe, since you got the mic, what you got to say about our topic today? I know you got something you want to add to it.
Well, readings, I can't say anything that Rich hasn't already said. Reading is very important. One has to have an open mind and read both sides of the aisle, both sides of the situation, both sides of the story, because all of us have confirmation bias. And if we really want to be well-rounded individuals, we have to read whatever we don't want to read in order to get their perspective, because sometimes right down deep inside all that horse shit is actually a nugget of gold sometimes.
I can say that better myself. Wow.
So, you know, Rich has got the floor. I just wanted to come in and contribute, but I wanted to.
You wanted to mess with him first, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I understand. Okay.
So what else? Reading. I mean, once you've said it, once he said it, Rich. I mean, what else is there to say outside of perhaps progressing on and saying how come? I guess blacks in their community don't read, which is a good question, because I mean. Jews, they teach their kids, you know, the Jewish culture, even though it's assimilated with American culture, and to get that education. And Asians, I just found out the other day, I was taking a look at the net worth of people in the United States. The net worth of Asians far surpasses anybody else in America. White, black.
Wow.
Well, there's only three races, so, I mean, they've gone to the stratosphere. So what the question is, how come certain people aren't reading, and why not? You know, which is the same thing. So has anybody touched on that, or what?
Well, no, not yet, Joe, but you can go right ahead. I mean, we just started the show, so go right ahead.
Well, I don't know. I guess maybe I wouldn't say it goes all the way back to slavery, but I would say a lot of it probably stems from Jim Crow. But then again, that's two generations apart from Jim Crow. How come the kids or grandchildren, having been born since that era, why is it that the black community is still at the bottom of the totem pole? Outside of racism, I'm talking about within the culture itself, how come reading is not pushed like it is in the Jewish community and the Asian community? The other whites, like the Italians and the Irish, it wasn't pushed that much either. But why?
Okay. Mr. Solution, you got a response to that, or you going to leave it up to me?
Well, sure. It's axiomatic. I mean, when you observe this this phenomena, it's axiomatic. Reading forces one to, like I say, not be narcissistic. Joe talks about that a lot. Narcissism.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happens is, actually, out of slavery, blacks were became the most educated people in America. Blacks progressed more rapidly in education than any other group. But what has happened is since the 60s, you know, it's been popular to be stupid. And
oh, yeah. We've become educated, as they say.
not really educated, because, listen, for a long time, before the, I believe it was the Gutenberg printing press, information was transmitted verbally. And the Areopagus in the New Testament scriptures is where people gather together to discuss important issues of the day. And that's where the Apostle Paul presented his great treatise on Mars Hill. But the point of it is, just like we're speaking today, it is nothing more enjoyable to me to have a good, refreshing conversation. It should be vigorous. But you see that everybody engaged in the conversation is there to grow. They want to benefit. And with American blacks, there's a book written by Dr. George Sabira. It's called Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. It was written in the 80s. It may be out of print now. But he said his book was the only one that dealt with financial growth for blacks at that time. And he said the most important, a very sad thing in the black American community is that a particular black person won't know a particular thing of importance. And even sadder still, they won't even know anyone that knows. And that's why they run around all the time asking, well, what's going on? What's happening? They don't know what's happening. And so the situation should be, as I was mentioning to you earlier, I love hearing an author talk about the contents of their book. You have the source and the resource right there. And that's why I go to book signings and things of that nature. So we can actually, there are a lot of people who are intelligent enough and who specialize in what they call knowledge brokering. And you can gain so much information from them. But a people who have been oriented toward narcissism, selfishness, and mediocrity will not remove themselves. It's like being on a particular trajectory. You've heard the old phenomena of physics, the law of inertia. That really has to do with stability. An object at rest tends to remain at rest. Remain in motion, yeah. And so blacks have developed the attitude, and it's very unfortunate. Not all blacks, because I told you about the talented 10. or the black elite.
Elite, yeah.
More or less act as a buffer between the race schism in the U.S.
Can I ask the question again and interrupt Rich?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, this is could be a very touchy subject, but I've been on other black shows and they've touched upon it, so I don't know if it's that. Why is it that blacks don't put an emphasis on reading? And I don't think, I'm going to disagree with Rich about the narcissism. I don't think narcissism is what's infecting the black culture. I think it infects black and white and Asian women, but I don't think it infects the black culture per se. Why is it that the family, which have come from slavery or Jim Crow, why didn't they have the Jewish type of epiphany, as it were, in that they don't teach their kids, hey, education, you got to get it, or you know, you do not play ball until you get at least straight B's or 3 A's and 2 B's from your classes. In the Asian community, women will do that to their kids. They will not allow their kids to play unless they actually have good marks, not just acceptable marks, good marks. That's why you don't see a lot of Asian athletes. They're out there conquering the world slowly.
Well, you know what, Joe, and you bring up a good point. You know, and that's like the saying goes, when peeling the onion, you don't start with the 10th layer, you start with the first layer, and that's what it is. It starts at home, actually. You know, many people may not agree with that, but from what I know, it does. You know, we as a black culture these days, we put more emphasis on, you know, being pop singers or sports heroes. Mm-hmm. You know, for some reason, as far as when it comes to reading or pushing education, you know, there's ones, don't get me wrong, there's it's done out there, but it's not as much as it should, because we're too interested in getting our hair done or getting our nails done, you know, or doing other things besides picking up a book during our leisure time and reading.
But notice what you're saying now. Define those words as you go. That's selfishness, self-absorbed. Let me just complete this thought.
Okay, go ahead.
It's inappropriate behavior, as Dr. Claude Anderson chronicles it, are founded upon narcissism. And when you see what happens with the Asians and many other groups is, or particularly the Asians, they go for the longevity. In other words, they're doing the distance run as opposed to the sprint. Blacks look for the lotto. They look to hit the lotto in life. And you know, there was a juxtaposition once upon a time. Which was the best to strive for? An MBA, all right, Masters of Business Administration, or the NBA? One has, it's very powerful. It's almost like electromagnetism in physics. Strike that. The strong nuclear force in physics, as opposed to gravity. Gravity permeates the entire universe, whereas the nuclear force is very, very, it's very powerful, but only in very close proximity. So what we have here is blacks go for the superficial. For the most part, the NBA. What's the average career of an NBA?
I think it's 7 years, but it's still. Let me disagree again with you, Rich.
Wait a minute, but before you disagree, they end up broke. I follow athletes, and I look at how so many of them end. Look at Allen Iverson. He ended up, and we talked about this on another show.
Right.
Juxtaposed to an MBA or an education, let's just let MBA stand for a good education, you can use that for a lifetime, 40, 50, 60 years, all your life. So that's the point. Go ahead.
When you're saying narcissism, again, it's selfish in that they, you know, want to veer away from the books and the education, but that's a kind of that's not the kind of narcissism that I usually talk about and you and I usually talk about. Usually it's a narcissism for the benefit of one another, of one, as opposed to the destruction of one. So this kind of narcissism, I see, that's why I don't consider it narcissism, because also the Jews and the Asians are narcissistic, but they're guiding their kids towards being productive, as opposed to the black community, where if you're going to use narcissism as your foundation, it seems that they're making the kids go into another direction, a counterproductive direction. And that's my question. Why is that? Why is it that kids are not given the emphasis read, not just to read, but do well in school?
Let's go ahead and dichotomize this. Let's go ahead and express the dichotomy. There's a good and bad selfishness. There's a beneficial selfishness, and there's a bad selfishness. I've always parsed those two.
Okay, then I got you.
And so blacks take the short-lived bad selfishness, which is societally inappropriate behavior. And a lot of that has to do, the Moynihan Report describes this very succinctly also. It's a very good report that describes the situation with modern-day blacks, and American blacks, that is. And so what you have is you have all these single mothers. Single women are a disaster, and I'm particularly talking about voluntary single mothers. Voluntary single motherhood is a disaster. But you find that the law supports it, and you can never leave the law out, because the law shapes our social reality. And so that's what you have there. You have good and bad narcissism. Asians choose the good narcissism, which is self-preservation, self-enhancement, educating.
Yeah, but what you're also talking about is that you're, by default, then saying that black parents don't emphasize education. Therefore, they're emphasizing go become a sports star, go become a rapper. I don't know. Is that prevalent within the black community?
Well, anybody can study this. I often say to blacks, whites understand you better than you do. You can supersede being vis-a-vis study. That's why a woman takes her vagina to a male gynecologist and pays him for having studied the human anatomy and, of course, performing a useful service upon her. So my point is this, is that if you study something, you can actually understand it. And that's why we do research. So having single parents is an absolute disaster in a society that is male-oriented, that is male-dominated. And I'm just talking about a particular system. America is based and founded upon, you know, the father being the figurehead, the image.
But do those single mothers, do they emphasize the lack of education?
Well, it doesn't matter. They're dysfunctional at origin.
Well, Mr. Lucy, I don't know about dysfunctional, but Joe, I think what Joe wants to know is, you know, in a lot of cases, the single mothers, from the ones I know, push education for the kids harder than the multi-parented families, because, you know, in many cases, that's the only thing they know that's going to get the child to get out of the income level that they're in. You know, the situation that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I say, Mr. Solution, he has a point to a certain extent, but in a lot of cases, you know, it's changing now to where, you know, single mothers are beginning to push a little harder than because they have to work harder. It's just
that
simple.
I understand, Rich's point about it. If you're a single mother, you're most likely you're going to become dysfunctional because you don't have the stabilizing force of your other partner. But does that dysfunction automatically mean, and that's my question, does it automatically mean, and you answered it, Eric, by saying that the people that you know, they don't have this. But how prevalent is it, not only in single mothers, but in parents, but in families where there's a nuclear family? From what I'm seeing, okay, just from my assumption, doesn't seem like it's there. Because when you take a look at the median income of blacks and the median household, doesn't seem like education is the pathway that they're taking.
Well, you're right. It's not. It's not. And like Mr. Lucian said, in many instances, it's the quick gratification of, you know, let me win the lotto. Let me, you know, let me push my child to be this super sports star. You know, the percentage of him actually, them a child actually making it is one in, what, 1,000, 2 million or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we just not taking the time to sit down and push the education. It's just that simple.
Voluntary single mothers are more than 50% likely to live in poverty. And if you look at all the socioeconomic dysfunctional indices or indices that describe dysfunction, incarceration, what is it? 85% of those incarcerated come from where?
African American community.
Well, it's not 85%.
Well, it's a good large
number,
percentage. Yeah.
But wouldn't then the reality that they've been exposed to hardships then induce them to say to their kids, I don't want you to be like me. You have to get that education?
No, 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 no. It's just like women. I talk to women all the time who had a child out of wedlock. And for whatever reason, they did a little bit better. They were able to go to school and what have you. It is hard to get these women to renounce what they did because they feel that if they say what they did was bad, it would be like a self-condemnation. But I've asked these women, I said, well, would you want your daughter to come up and get pregnant as a teen? And they say no. I said, well, that's what you're saying. You can admit your mistake and move to higher ground. But
agreed.
They have a problem with if they acknowledge what they did was wrong, then, of course, they see it as a stain on their character as opposed to something that represents growth. And so, but single motherhood, let me ask you guys, what is the figure of the incarcerated? What percentage of them come from single-family homes?
That I don't know.
I've heard you quote it before, Joe.
That come from single-family, the incarcerated? I know that over 53% of the entire United States population, the kids ever since 2010, 53% of them have been born out of wedlock. How many have ended up in jail? That I don't know.
But in other words, what we're saying, this would be a good thing. I say it's about 85% of prisoners come from single mother, female-headed household homes. And I'm not talking about women who got married. See, this is where the communication breaks down. Usually when women hear single mothers, even if they were married, if they did the responsible thing by being in a committed relationship before they brought a child into the world, when they hear single mother, they include the women who were irresponsible, and that's the problem.
But even if they are irresponsible, are they that irresponsible that they're not going to push education for the kids, even without assigning themselves blame? You can do that without assigning yourself blame. I mean, the mother isn't going to have a conversation with the 5-year-old and say, well, you know what, I feel, you know, I shouldn't have had you, but I did. No, isn't she going to say, okay, Johnny, go to school, get good marks. Why can't she emphasize that?
But Joe, how is she going to emphasize something like that if she hasn't been introduced to it?
Because she has a kid now. Wouldn't you want your kid to do better than you? Even if you're doing $50,000, $60,000 a year, you still want your kid to do better than you. So if you've come from a background where you're doing $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year, why wouldn't you still want your kid to do better, if not better than you? Because, you know, I mean, a lot of people do have messed up psyches, but at least to do well. Why not the pride in having your kid come home with A's and B's?
You know, Joe, that's a good point. And when I was growing up, yeah, that was the thing. You know, that we always said. I tell my son that now. You will be better than what I am. But in a lot of instances, it goes back to the instant gratification. We're not, you know, they're not thinking like that. They're thinking just day to day, trying to make it as it is. You know, if the child gets it, the child gets it. You know, and that goes back to the foundation of the family, though. like Mr. Solution said, in the instance that he used, yes, single motherhood is a disaster, a complete disaster.
So that shows, but my question still is why? They're doing it, but why? And from what you're saying, this seems to be a lack of love for oneself within the black community, if just to follow what you've said.
Mm-hmm. Well, lack of love for oneself?
Yeah.
How about, now that's a good one. You stumped me with that one. How about just a confusion completely, just not knowing?
But what? Not knowing what? They have to send their kids to school, right? Just like every other kid. Why can't they just say, I'm going to check out your report card. I want to make sure you've got good marks.
Because more than 9 times out of 10, in a lot of instances, they're working and the child is out there hanging out on the street or playing video games.
But
so,
why?
I mean, that's how
it goes back to why again. The Asians won't allow it. The Jews won't allow it. The Italians, the Irish, the Germans, they still have, kids who have done fairly well in school and, you know, grown up and gone to college and stuff. So my question again is why? My particular take on it is that there has to be something deeper. Again, a lot of people say it goes back to slavery. I don't know. Jim Crow, I can see it. But for two generations, it seems to me to be self-destructive because a lot of blacks have said, everybody's infected with the crab mentality. One person goes up and the other person tries to drag him down. Is that true? Because if it is, God help you.
God help me, huh? Okay,
yeah.
Well, hold on, Joe and Mr. Solution. I got another call on the line. Let's see what they got to add to it.
Hey, hello. How's everybody doing?
We're doing fine. You listen to Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's on my mind is this ignorance going on about black people not loving themselves. That's ignorant.
Okay.
And it's ignorant. And first and foremost, everybody else around the globe emulates and imitates what black people do. All the things that are so popular, whatever, it comes from us. But that's neither here nor there. As far as education goes and reading, black children are taught that boys should go out and play or play video games to be the best athlete that they can be.
And I'm the one that's ignorant.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you just reaffirmed my point, and I'm the one that's ignorant.
I'm telling you what I know coming from the standpoint of growing up being a young black male.
And you just said that young black men are taught go outside and play and become athletes or stay on the video games. You just said that.
That's
poor.
That's mostly
and that's not
what
being Jesus Christ.
Let me finish.
You have a lack
finish.
Of reading comprehension.
Okay,
okay.
Don't throw insults at me.
You came on here saying, I'm ignorant. Not that what I said
I
was.
I said what you said was ignorant. I didn't call
same
you
thing.
Well, you take it how you want to. I'm just going to tell you how it is. And as far as the Jews and this and that. Nobody else in this country had to go through the same things that black people went through in this country. You can name
so then
any
how
other
come blacks aren't teaching their children the same thing the Jews who went through 6 million of the Holocaust teach their kids?
You mean the Jewish people? Because there is a difference.
Between the Jew and the Jewish person? No, there isn't. But go ahead.
Anyway, Jewish is a religion. But anyway, as far as that's concerned, if you speak to a Jewish person about society and things that's going on, and you say something that's derogatory towards them, they're going to do the exact same thing you did. Go back to the Holocaust, because that's the only footstool they've got to stand on.
Okay, fine. So just explain why, then. That's my question. Why?
Like
not
I
about
did,
the
man.
Jews, about black people. Why? You just came on here saying, I didn't even say that they were taught. I just said they were probably allowed. You said they're taught. I don't think Eric nor Rich would agree with you that black kids are taught to stay on the video game and taught to go outside to become an NBA
telling
member.
I'm telling you what happens, man. You can believe whatever you like, but I'm telling you what happens. Most of the time you have a single black female or a single black mother that's working out and about, doing what she has to do to sustain her home. These children are getting into any and everything. Why isn't it that in the inner cities, you have a lot of the programs that you have in the private schools. You want to say funding? Let's say every child gets the same education. Let's say they all get the same amount of money per child per school. Then you would have more black gymnasts and more black teachers, educators, whatever, i.e., if a person
black
is
gymnast
inside of a small box and says, hey, this is what you are going to do. You're only going to grow up and you're going to go to prison, you're going to die, or you're going to be a successful athlete.
So in other words, besides the fact that you're being taught to stay on video game and taught to go outside to become a potential athlete, the schools are that much worse because they're not getting the funding.
If you don't know, you don't know. I'm from New Orleans, man. You ain't going to tell me anything.
This is what
about
you said. I'm not extrapolating.
Okay, sir.
I'm saying back to you what you said.
Okay, so basically you're saying the problem is with the schools, the teachers, and just the fact that the only thing we're doing is letting the kids go outside and play and get in trouble.
And I'm
yeah, the kids don't have much structure. I mean, hey, I grew up in a house with both of my parents. And
okay.
I didn't go astray.
This is what I was saying, and you come on here talking the same stuff, but the facts that I presented were ignorant, not me, the facts, but the facts that you presented were gold.
I didn't say that. I don't have the answer for everything, right? Hey, I can agree to disagree.
How can you disagree when you come on here saying the same thing?
What you said to me was ignorant. Man, I mean, it's just
what did I
it
say
is.
That was ignorant? That
you're
was different than what you just said.
You're looking through a small box. I'm telling you, most children are looking at Michael Jordan when they grow up. Most black children, anyway.
That's what I said.
But.
What?
Wow.
Well, I mean, that is what we all have been saying.
Yeah.
Well.
now that guy's wrong. You know why? Because he's saying that the kids, they're not being taught to go to school. You know what? He's wrong. Because you know why? The kids aren't being taught to go to school. Dude.
Well, before I could go out and do anything, I had to make sure that my schoolwork was done. And both
right.
of my parents were on my back for that.
And right.
like
and
I
but,
said, in my house, I had two parents. Now, again, like I also said, there are a lot of homes that only have one female there. You get a child.
Which is what Rich was saying.
14, 15 years old. And first, when you talk about being successful, success is not only in finances. Because you want to go off on, you make $250,000. Who cares? A lot of people in this country that make that amount of money are miserable.
All right, let's get down to the bottom line because you've only got 12 minutes left, Derek. What is it that Rich has said or Eric has said or in particular myself has said that's different than what you've just been saying?
Well, as far as finances go, like I said.
Who talked about finances? What have we said that's different than what you've said?
Man, you said, if you want your children to do better than you. Of course, I want my child to be a better person than I am.
But not to do it through education.
Of course. Hey, I graduated high school. I have a little college, this and that. But as far as my child goes, hey, I want them to be a better person first. And all these other things will come with that.
Well, yeah, but you said that kids were being taught to stay on the video games, taught to stay outside. What does that got to do with education?
Okay, well,
how is that different than what I was saying?
I'll say it since you want to play the word game, I'll say it like this. The only thing that they're influenced to do is play a video game. Man, you got 30, 40-year-old guys sitting on a video game every day.
And
the children.
All right. I give up. You win.
Well, no, hold on. Let me get Mr. Pianki in here on this because we've been saying the same thing. I'm kind of disagreeing with you there, Mr. New Orleans, but hold on. Hello, Mr. Pianki. Welcome. Wait a minute. We got an issue here. All right. Hello, Mr. Pianki. You there?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Pianki. What's up?
All right. What you got to put in on
this? The conversation, but give me the money, man.
Give you the money, huh?
Yeah.
were you around when we were talking about it before?
No, I just came in.
Oh, okay. Oh, Eric, okay. You want to recap or Rich or do you want me?
Well, Joe, go on and put your question back out there again. I think nobody can phrase it like you can.
Okay.
So you go right ahead.
All right. I jumped into the discussion when Eric and Rich were talking about how come reading isn't that important in the black community. Then I jumped in and asked, why? What's the underlying reason why an education isn't being emphasized, okay, and reading? And then New Orleans comes in and says that what I was saying was ignorant. And then he goes on to say that kids are being influenced or taught to do exactly what I said that seemed to be prevalent in the African community. So the basis is, why isn't education being emphasized like in the Jewish community or in the Asian community so that blacks can overcome whatever particular type of poverty they're in or the lack of money coming in and yada yada?
Well, a lot of that has to do with the leadership and also the leadership being influenced by teachers union. When it comes down to education now, teachers union and these crazy organizations that want to keep black students in public school situations rather than giving parents a choice. Because I know a lot of, I can recount many instances, Joe,
mm-hmm.
you probably heard me talk about it, where black parents have showed up in the thousands at school board meetings and in the hundreds, just west of me, for what they want to see their children have. But they have these obstacles that they have to fight. Look how up in on the East Coast, where the NAACP either sued the city of one school district in New Jersey, I believe, because they was going to seek out alternative education in the form of charter schools. So I understand what you're saying. It's not that they don't want to. It's just that, it's just so much obstacles that to a point where a lot of times you have this apathy toward school board meetings, just like you do toward voting.
Okay. Then my question then, how prevalent, as it was before, how prevalent is the attitude of not teaching? Because apparently, from what other blacks have been saying also, not just on this show, but on other shows you and I have been on, like Imperius on other shows, they're saying it's just not emphasized within the home environment. So my question was, why?
Right.
Well, you know what happens, Joe? It's just like a chain. When you break a link, then that link is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Then what picks up on the other side of that broken link is not the same as if that link was never broken. So what you got it today is families. It's not what we called families back during the day we was children.
Mm. There we go. Now we're getting down to the foundation.
Well, this is what Rich was saying.
Basically what, and what Joe was been asking the whole time. Basically, the bottom line is until we start addressing some of the socioeconomic issues, then really nothing is going to get done. Let's be honest about it.
Well, then again, my question still remains, though.
Remains.
If the socioeconomic conditions of blacks, let's say the broken homes like Rich was talking about,
uh-huh.
is that prevalent, why wouldn't the mother or the father or even a dysfunctional nuclear family still say, kid, you better get good marks?
Well, I think they do, Joe. But look at this: if you and I was passenger in a plane, and the pilot had a heart attack, would you know how to land that plane? I sure in the hell don't.
No, sure
because
don't.
Because we weren't taught.
Yeah, but that wouldn't stop you from calling, tower control and letting them help you guide it to the safest landing possible. You wouldn't just throw their hands in the air, is what I'm saying. But look here, allow me to introduce
Hello? Uh-oh, I think we lost him for a moment.
Oh.
Yeah, and I don't think that I see it because I volunteer with a school.
Mm.
And many parents, especially young parents, just don't know because they never was taught.
And that's the point I was going to make. I mean, how can you expect them to do something when we have babies having babies, and they're not being taught. So how can you expect them to teach their kids?
I don't know.
One of the biggest problems.
I don't know if I that may be true. I don't know if I buy that, though, because I can see a lot of kids being born out of wedlock, because I think 2010, 53%, like I said, are being born out of. But I can't. I don't understand why that mother, when it's time for that kid to go to school, doesn't say, let me see your report card, try to get good marks. I don't see that mother not saying something like that.
Well, you know what, Joe? In a lot of cases, the mother's not involved anyway. A lot of times in the single home, when the mother goes to work, the kid is dropped off either at a grandparent's house or something like that. So mm-hmm. In some instances, the actual biological mother or, you know, the single mother is really not that involved and depends on someone else to ensure that, you know, the child is getting an education.
Why isn't the grandmother or grandfather doing it?
A lot of times it just...
Well, sometimes the grandmother... There ain't no grandfather in many cases, but sometimes the grandmother's the one that's raising these kids.
Right.
Joe, it's just something. You know, I wish you was in my city. I'd take you around and show
you. All right,
you back,
things. Mr. Solution?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was saying, was someone else speaking or what?
No. Yeah, Mr. Pianca was talking for a moment.
Well, I was speaking for a moment. I understand what Mr. Solution say, but I... But believe me, I see parents that have concerns, but it's just so much stuff these people go up through nowadays, which, especially when you're poor. You know, I spend more time championing other people's, well, championing the cause of the poor parents because they can't speak for themselves. I had to go down to the school district, and because this one principal and this parents group wanted to have certain books in the school, and the lady down at the school district said that no, they can't have these. So I went down there and asked them why, and we had a long conversation, and when we was done, she said, well, I guess they can have them. But none of the parents had that expertise or the time to go down and champion their cause like that.
And yeah, and I'm not saying that that's one of my questions. How prevalent is it in the black community? There will be some who will be absolutely concerned about their kids because, you know, there's a lot of PhDs and people with master's degrees from the black community. But from what I've gathered from being on other shows, that seems to be a major problem. And I just wanted to find out why and how prevalent was it.
Well, I agree with you, and I ain't trying to take up for nobody. But maybe Mr. Solution's got an answer to that question.
Hey, if I might, and Joe, I apologize. I came in a little late on the show, but I did hear the part when you was talking about money and if you know you want your child to make more money. And my thing is this, you know, the thing is you got a lot of people nowadays, especially these young people that's having children, and they have become adults themselves. So it's automatically going to be harder for this person to raise someone when they still need to be raised themselves. But if you're 20 years old, 19, 18, 17 years old, and the only thing you have on your mind is doing whatever you see on the television. Lil Wayne did this, and they're doing this, and so I want to live like that, and I'm partying. And you have a child. This child is not going to get all the foundation that it needs from the very beginning.
I agree with you.
Is, in fact, going to be with those grandparents or a cousin or sister or whoever most of the time while this mother is out doing her thing. But, like I said, when you take that child and you sit them in front of that television, that's where they're going to learn from.
Well, I've
interacted with both ignorant blacks and ignorant whites. Mm-hmm. And the major difference between ignorant blacks and ignorant whites in America is that whites have a power system, regardless of their ignorance, and they have skin privilege. And I will add that I think whites, even if they're ignorant, are a little bit more likely to listen because they recognize their ignorance. Let me just make that very clear.
Well, the blacks don't recognize. Let me tell you something. There's no freaking idiot that's more of an idiot than a college-educated idiot. And whites, believe me, whites don't listen to their own ignorance. Maybe they do it better than blacks. But you want to be in a frustrating situation. Be with anybody, whites, Asians, blacks, and in which people just don't listen, even though you're paid to give them that advice.
Wow.
Yeah, but Joe, don't mix your metaphors. The problem is that when we talk from a position of self-empowerment, having an education, regardless, a person can be a jackass and be educated, and that's true. There are some jackass educated people. However, from a self-empowerment vantage point, they are going to be more self-empowered because the system has set up standards that appreciate and reward education, regardless as how the person is in their personal character. So that's all I'm saying there. But on the other front, we have to get a few things in perspective, in my opinion. People who come from another country, it's almost like the captain that burned the ship when he was taking the island. They have no escape. They have to succeed. When you leave your homeland to come to a foreign land, number one, you're coming there for economic advantage. That is usually the primary reason that most people immigrate from their homeland. And as a result, anytime you introduce, and I don't mean this negatively, I'm just stating a fact. Anytime you introduce an alien species into a domestic environment, that alien species is going to outperform. Look at the Burmese python, and I'm not saying that people are animals. That's not what I'm doing. I'm drawing an analogy.
Right.
Look at the Burmese python in Florida. And it's true of plant or animal. When you introduce an alien species into a domestic setting, that alien species is going to be more vigorous. It's going to find out what to do and outcompete the pre-existing people, is what I'm saying. Do you follow me on that? It's very important to understand that fundamental principle.
Yes, I follow you, but hold on. We got Wilhelm on
the Asian carp is another example how it outperforms or outproduces or outcompetes the other fish, the domestic fish. Go ahead.
All right, hold on. Let me bring Wilhelm online. Hello, Wilhelm. You're on Let's Talk.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hello. You know, I was just listening to your radio show right now, and listening to it, I actually had an original question because I saw the topic about you know why African Americans don't read. But now that you brought up this notion of alien species, you know, coming into a certain land and outcompeting with the people or the species that was already native there, I think it holds very true. I mean, like I see in Southern California, for example, you know, like neighborhoods. That, you know, now keep in mind something. I am from Germany. I've been here for about 15 years. So a lot of what I've read or what I've learned about America is what I've read. And, you know, I've just talked to, you know, different people here and there to hear their perspectives. And, for example, like in Southern California, like Watts and Compton, those used to be all white neighborhoods. Then all of a sudden, all you guys came in, and now it became black neighborhoods. Then all of a sudden, have you noticed Hispanics are coming in there in droves? Now they're the ones that are out competing. I mean, what's next? What do we do about the solution?
Well, now you're talking about immigration. I wish we had more time because I'd like to answer Rich on that.
Well, we got 55 minutes. We got plenty of time.
Well, too, he asked, but he mentioned, he qualified his remark. He said out competing. So you have to ask the question. And we talk about this all the time. When whites left the neighborhood, they not only left the neighborhood, but they also left an economic market that the people that was left behind did not capture on themselves.
Well, that's what he was saying, but he was being very, very tactful about it.
No, it's
right.
Cool, he comes from a different culture. I can understand. He probably mean no harm, but I can understand.
No, he just didn't say white flight. That's what he didn't say. And that's what happens. If you have a bunch of blacks moving into a neighborhood, and what he's not saying, which I'll affirm, and I'll step on the grenade, okay? You have whites moving out, but then you have the first wave of blacks moving in, which are cool. But then after that, you have the neighborhood going down in many instances. Now, is that true or not?
Well, yeah, that's true. But the question is why come blacks can't turn that into...
That's my question, Rich. That's my question, because I've been asking that since I got on the show in so many ways. I think, and here's the answer that I was looking for, because I've asked this question before, and it only came in directly from other people, but this is what I believe is the real answer, okay? Because as Rich was saying, you can have the Chinese coming over here, you can have non-American blacks come over here, you can have other immigrants come over here. They know, they burn the bridges behind them. They have to succeed. If blacks left America and went to France, even if they were on welfare, I would bet the majority of them would do a hell of a lot better in a foreign country than they are doing here, because they have to.
Well, you got a point there, Joe.
Yeah, because that's survival of the fittest then.
It is, but let me tell you another thing, too, that I recognize, and I bet Ms. Solution do, too. Blacks depend too much on government, brother.
But that goes back to my question of why. Because the Chinese have made it, the Jews have made it, they've inculcated their kids with the philosophy of education is the way out. Blacks,
right,
from what I've been told, are not doing that. I wanted to know why. There has to be a psychological thing. A lot of people say it goes back to slavery. I don't think so. That's been very, very far away.
Yeah, like that's
going, it goes back to Jim Crow. But that's two generations away. Why isn't the first or second generation doing better than back when in the 60s?
Right.
Okay,
go to the Moynihan report.
Moynihan report. He predicted what would happen today.
I'm sorry, say again?
I have the Moynihan report.
I would encourage you. I don't have it open right now. But if you read that report, the question that you're asking is answered very, very definitively in that report from a sociological and a socioeconomic vantage point. Also, I recommend, and I'm sure you've heard me recommend this, Dr. Claude Anderson's book, Powernomics.
Well, and I went over to the site, and
his predecessor book, Black Slavery, White Wealth, defines the problem. And, of course, Powernomics offers the solution. And the solution is economic. Are there moral issues? Are there issues of logic? Absolutely. But the primary issue, you can't even get American blacks to agree. Now, first of all, let me just say this. I promote a three-pronged principle, and Eric, you may want to recite it, for a person in order to offer. Well, you're laughing, but you know it's coming.
I knew it was coming.
I offered a three-prong suggestion or guidance before a person gives advice. Now, this could apply to anybody, and it does. You want to go ahead and specify what those three criteria are, Eric?
Okay. Okay, before I do that, let me bring this other caller on the air. Then I get to him. I got him right here in front of me. I know him by heart now. But let me get this other caller on the air. They've been waiting for a moment, okay? Hello, caller. You're listening to Let's Talk. What's on your mind? Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm on the air.
Hello?
You on the air?
Yes, you're on the air.
You on the air?
Yes, how can I help you?
First, I just want to say shout out to my mom. You know, what to do. You know, say it.
Okay, I apologize for that.
Oh, a drive by? I like them on my show.
Yeah, but them was kids. Seemed like they should be in school.
Yeah, that was kids. Okay, now getting back to Mr. Solution, it's you got to have all your bills current. You got to have at least 1 year reserve funds in reserve, and you got to have had at least one elimination within the last 12 hours. Did I get that right, Mr. Solution?
One elimination? Are you talking about going to the bathroom?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
That is
it. What that does is you want to put in parentheses on item two, on criteria two, and or working toward it.
But my question still goes back to the why. If Rich was at a seminar, and from what people are saying is that if there were 100 blacks there, 100 Asians, and 100 whites, 50% of the Asians and whites would take his advice, 10% of the blacks would. So, again, it goes back to why.
Well, you know another thing, too, Joe.
Less than 10.
You got another thing, too, that we don't recognize or don't want to recognize is that black people exploit the suffering of other blacks. And the whatever position, you got black folks out there that benefit monetarily off the fact that blacks are struggling, blacks are not being educated, blacks are end up going to prisons and indulging in crime, especially in the education. So you, when you have blacks themselves that are feeding off the condition of a large segment of their population, then that should answer your question.
Well, what it does is it kind of exposes it. Doesn't really answer it. I'm going to give you the answer in a second. What I think is the answer, Pianki, and you're right, because out of the, because I've done research on this, of the 10 poorest either counties or cities in the United States, 6 of them have black mayors. So you're right. Blacks feed off blacks to exploit one another. Here's what I think is the reason, as the answer to the why. I think blacks are full of despair. I don't think they believe, and I believe racism exists to a huge degree. I don't think we're in a post-racial thing. Just because some black guy got elected, you know, with a Muslim name, no less, to the presidency. I think blacks still believe, even though they got the education, that they're not going to get the jobs. Is that on point?
Well,
no. No.
Okay. Well,
no,
yes.
I couldn't agree with that one either.
That's not it. What it is, when you're talking about it, what happened to modern-day blacks, what kills them, is this fucking, what it talks about in the Moynihan Report, where you have female-headed households. That's your problem. You can't have female-headed households where the script has been laid, the foundation has been laid for male rulership. White males indisputably dominate the economy and the society, period. They have laid the foundation. So when you have these homes headed by women, and I'm talking about voluntary single motherhood, which is narcissism, they can't control the kids, either the girls or the boys. But the system benefits from that. You look at GEO Inc. and also Correction Corporation of America. They know that the women can't raise these kids. And also your bureaucracy that's set up around child support. Okay, that's the reason.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah.
Two things would rectify the problem. Number one, you give men the right to say no to parenthood, just like women do. What that would do is cause a spirited debate. That would cause the woman to have to look at her responsibility in producing the bastard children, because she has all the legal rights. She has all the legal rights. If she wants to destroy it, the law will support her in that. If she wants to keep it and try and go after the man using the jackbooted bureaucracy, the law will support her in doing that. So part of it is the law. And that's the part you'll never hear discussed, because that escapes most people's intellectual capacity. They won't talk about the role that the law plays in giving women this subsidized power. As one gentleman comes on, he says, cut off the money. Animals cut back on their reproductive paradigm when there's less food available. Women are no less smarter than animals. In fact, they're much more smarter. If they knew that there was no resource that they could depend upon, no daddy government, they would cut back producing bastard children.
So let me ask you this, Rich. Are you saying then if there were even more of a prevalence of single family and female dominated homes in the black community, if racism was practically eliminated, that the kids would still end up being disproportionately failures?
No. Racism is not the primary problem facing blacks today. In my discussions with this, I talk about this all the time. The major problem with blacks today is inappropriate behavior. Racism was at one point the overarching and the dominant inhibitor of black success. That hasn't been true for roughly 40 years. And that's not true today. When I talk to a plethora of people, I talk to all races of people, And I can tell how you think just based on your response to my questions, okay? So then, when you talk to the average black today, we get right back to the topic of the subject. They're not interested in reading, in growing, in being motivated to do better. Blacks should have their own communities. Hell, during slavery, they had Black Wall Street or Jim Crowism. You had Rosewood in Florida. All of these were thriving, self-sustaining black townships when the laws were much more hostile toward blacks than they are today. Martin Luther King talked tremendously about the economic necessity in order that blacks should progress in. What blacks are doing today is fundamentally self-destructing.
Let me ask you this.
And that's a problem that only they can rectify.
Which goes, okay, now when I've talked to other people about this, and there's another person, and he's, because I'm glad you brought up Tulsa and Rosewood, because then I did research on it when I talked to the other person. He's saying, because I'm a libertarian, I believe that if you give people liberty, they'll do a lot better than they are today. He's saying that a rising tide doesn't lift all boats, and he mentions Rosewood and Tulsa as having been black independent communities, thriving communities, but the whites came along and destroyed it. And I said, yeah, that did happen. I don't think it would happen today because blacks are not in the slave mentality. Hopefully not, because some people do say,
Well, you know why it wouldn't happen today? Is because you have the laws protecting you like they should have been doing back then. And Mr.
No.
Luchin, no, they do. Yes,
no, you know why it wouldn't happen today? Because we're too busy doing it ourselves.
Well, no.
They got guns to, and I said, you got guns to protect yourselves. You wouldn't let people do it.
Yeah, okay.
Right, you have those particular rights. Mr. Luchin, you said it very eloquently. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and what the law should provide is equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome. Now, when I talk to some of the jackass racists, and I love talking to the racists, by the way, logic applies to the racists, too. I talk to the racists and the white separatists. They don't get it. When I say to them, we're talking about equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome. Every time, because they're basically ignorant, by the way, every time they'll twist what I said around and they'll talk about equality of outcome. And I'll take them right back to the central point. I say, no. I'm talking about equality of opportunity because I may want more than your lazy ass. In fact, I may want 1,000 times more than you do. So I don't want equality of outcome. I want equality of opportunity. You get the difference? You see?
Yeah, but if you say it like that, I'm sure that a lot of people, the skinheads, would go.
No, I tell you what, I've said it to them, and they agree with it. You'd be surprised. That's why come I say that, you've heard me say that I agree with a lot of things that the Ku Klux Klan say. And I get ridiculed for making those statements. So,
but what you're saying, Panky, isn't exactly what Rich is saying. You're talking about, equality of opportunity, just like in the Constitution. Give me the right to pursue happiness. What Rich is saying and turning it on its head and making racists understand is that if you give certain people the opportunity, they will outperform you, and that's what they don't want.
Right.
Well, I can understand that, too. And in some cases, you're probably right. But, like you mentioned about white flights, whites, if a person don't want to be around you, they got a right to not want to be around you. But why do we continue to check? We used to always go to school. We used to always wonder, why come all the whites always go out for cross country? And I say, well, hell, every time they move, blacks is following, they learn how to run.
Okay.
And then you get somebody from Kenya in the school, and he whips everybody's ass. Yeah, running.
Wow.
Well, yeah, but I think he's right. People shouldn't have to be forced to be with or without other people. They should be able to do it voluntarily. The laws, which in the Civil Rights Act, which seemed to be good, had unintended consequences, which are horrible today. People should not have to be forced to be with other people. They should voluntarily do it, but give people the equal opportunity. Give them the same opportunity for them to do what other people are doing and leave them alone.
And that's what the law stipulates in the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I often talk about the poor, and I love the poor, by the way, but I love them in a different way. I say the best thing, and I believe in being philanthropic and generous and altruistic and all that stuff. That's wonderful, and that's a good kind of selfishness to give to other people. But I do say this very emphatically, declarative sentence, Eric. The best thing one can do for the poor is not be
one.
That's right. I say that all the time. You do not want to be poor in America.
Yeah, we're all on the same page. Even the caller, the other one whose name I don't know, King. Oh, yeah, we were on the same page.
Look, I was looking up some of I was just looking up John B. Watts and B.F. Skinner. And these, as I'm sure you guys know, these were some prominent behaviorists. In fact, B.F. Skinner was probably the most prominent psychologist of the 20th century. Anyway, that's a title that's attached to him. And basically what they said was this, is that and Watson was the mentor of Skinner, is that give me, and getting back to the old nature-nurture controversy, give me five healthy specimens of human beings, and I will teach them to be banker, physician, attorney, baker, and yes, even beggar. So much is contingent upon the conditioning, the training that a person receives. Now, my position, I look at the Asians, for example. Now, the Asians are like a teapot, or I should say a teacup of hot water, giving off energy, juxtaposed to the ocean. They're doing very well, but they are very small numbers. They are increasing. But when I talk to, for example, and we have these talks quite regularly, the Japanese and the Koreans compete with each other, and they talk about how many hours they work and you know, the money they make, and we have a great time discussing these socioeconomic issues. But they've made a game of competition out of it. You know, they own their businesses and this sort of thing. Many of them are business owners. And what I explain, if you look at the black situation, and black unemployment is tremendously high. For example, I was talking with a couple of ladies the other day, and you had this boss bitch who jumped in and she just wanted to roar toward me. Well, obviously that was a joke as far as I'm concerned, but what I was saying to her, we were talking about inappropriate female dress, and one of the women talked about up the butt. I kind of like that. She says, I don't wear my clothes up the butt, but she said it's hard to find clothes that don't go up the butt, overexposure. And so I said to her, you know, and I had an entrepreneurial epiphany, and I said to her, well, that's a good opportunity for you to make clothes or design clothes that don't go up the butt, because you are able to find them. She admitted she didn't wear up the butt clothes. And she said, yes, I am able to find them, but they're hard. I said, well, that's a business that you should consider going into. Now, the boss bitch didn't want to talk about solutions. She only wanted to attack me. Now, they control the mic, but I could have reamed her and did a new asshole. I did it very politely, mostly. But see, and they were asking, well, why don't the men want to stay with the women? I said, because the women make bad choices, and most of them aren't relationship material. That's the reason. And they went, boo. They didn't comprehend that initially, so I repeated it. And I say, that's the reason the men leave you, is because you choose men that aren't capable of commitment, assuming that you are. And number two, you aren't of the quality that anyone would want to stay with you. But see, the upshot, I gave them an example of it. There's a 25% unemployment among black adults. There's over a 56 unemployment among black youth. That's a problem. That's analogous to what the Great Depression represented for whites. I think it only reached about a 25% unemployment rate. But I gave them a solution, but the boss bitch didn't want it. She didn't want a resolution. She wanted a fight.
You're right. No, he's right. I wasn't
and
there,
that's
but
most of the
right.
problem with your black women. The law has inappropriately subsidized the boss bitch black woman.
Don't leave our white women there, Rich, okay?
I say to the racist, you're right, women, period. But we're talking, he designated the black American. And I told him why it's better to say black than African American, because a white person from South Africa would be, quote, an African American if they came to the United States. So I just use the term black American.
That's why I say black African American. I understand what you're saying.
To make the real distinction.
Hey, but you know, but I'm going to ask y'all this. What do you think about this new trend now that women are being attacked?
Oh, please. That's the political game they do before
election. That what? Women are being attacked.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The war on women.
Yeah, the war on women. I mean, that's
God. Political bullshit. There's no war on women. If anything, if you look at who sustains the most attacks, now this is a little bit older book, but look at the myth of male power. They get the statistics and the resource there, but men are attacked and brutalized in every genre to a far greater degree than women are. There are a significant number of men and boys that are raped, particularly when they're incarcerated. We don't talk about that. Most of this is political bullshit.
55% of it, 55% of the population in the United States are women, and they still claim minority status. 55% of managers for the last 10 to 15 years have been women, and they claim to be oppressed. I wish I was as oppressed as women. When you go to Vietnam, how many people died? 58,000. How many women died? 7.
How many women today are required to register for the Selective Service?
0.
Women are actually in the power position, and it is pussified men who don't point that out. Truth is powerful. That's the reason a lot of women and men don't want to hear it. Okay, I come on a lot of shows, and the reason I do it is, first of all, I do enjoy good communication. I don't enjoy the bitch hostility, and I must say a lot of women can't handle the truth, and they control these men. But yet they wonder, well, first of all, let me say this. The women pick near-do-well men that they can boss around. They don't choose quality men because quality men won't allow a woman to boss them around. They will be nice and kind to the woman, but women tend not to want quality guys. And so I heard a group of guys talking about this just the other night, talking about what men could do to improve themselves. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. But you can cover that in virtually 15 minutes. And most men have an social requirement that their character is better than that of women anyway. Why? Because men are willing to do more for women than women are. And I'm talking about strangers. Men as strangers to women are willing to do more for women than the average woman is willing to do for the man. And that's the way we determine care and concern and outreach, how much you will do for another person. For example, most women expect strange men to buy them dinner. You want someone to subsidize your food needs. You want someone to subsidize your entertainment needs. How friggin' generous is that of men, and how presumptuous is that of narcissistic women to expect strange men who they don't even like to spend money on their sorry asses?
Yeah, and some of these women are so big, you go broke trying to do that.
You should have come on my show, Panky, when I had a show, when Rich was on there, and Salahuddin, and Stanley, and myself, and we were talking about narcissistic women. Everybody was nice.
Wow. I can just imagine that show.
Oh, no chicks called in. It was a hell of a show.
Mm. Uh-oh, we done lost Rich again. Oh, Mr. Solution, we done lost him again.
Yeah, well, everything he said, well, I... 95%, I agree with Rich 95% of the time when it comes to women. The only thing that he and I really disagree about is that he thinks it's paramount for women to approach men. I think it'd be absolutely nice if they do, but not. I don't think it would really change the social structure that much if women approach men, because number one, doesn't mean that they'll approach, you know, us. And,
right.
You know, and...
You
know, so, and then for men to approach, I just think that women should be, you know, if they don't like you, if you approach them, they should be a little nicer about it, but then women
Hello?
Always.
Hello, yes? Are you on there?
Why? I don't understand, because I believe that we read just as much as our white counterparts, and... for y'all to sit here and talk about this is just bombastic. I don't understand.
Okay, yeah. Well, let me ask you this question. When was the last time you read a book?
Hold on, it don't come in my nigga. Wait, like that, don't come at me like that.
Okay, once again, we got somebody playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So and Rich and I never finished our discussion on that, but everything else that he's talking about, which seems to be kind of like out there, over the top, I agree with 100%. I believe, and he's absolutely right about the fact that a strange woman will not help out a strange man the same way a strange man will help out a strange woman, because we're hardwired to protect and provide, and if we find a woman in distress, we're there. Well, they're there. I'm not anymore. But a woman ordinarily will not do that. Okay, if they see a man by the side of the road trying to, you know, put the lug nuts back in his car, you know, trying to repair a flat, they're not going to pull over.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Is my mic open?
Yes, your mic is open.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Joe. I want to disagree with you slightly on that hardwired. I don't think that's true at all, because I think we're conditioned, if that's what you mean, we're socialized to do that. But I'm going to tell you, I stopped doing it. Unless it's an old woman, I won't help her anymore. I used to help younger women. Now I say, fuck them.
No, I won't help a younger woman. They're, please. If they can over the air,
open
like
the door
in the Olympics,
for
one. They can
Wait
help
a minute. Let me clarify
out.
This. I'll drive right by a younger woman because they don't appreciate it. They think...
True.
They think that they are owed that. So my position is, you know, let me just say this. We have a lot of social safety nets today, and in a way that's a good thing. We have economic safety nets. We have auto safety nets. Let that heifer call AAA or somebody. I won't waste my time because they won't appreciate you. It's, you know, so it's totally unappreciated. And like I hear women and a lot of weak men, I call them men who pee on the fuzzy toilet, they pee sitting down on the fuzzy toilet seat.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about opening the door for a woman. Hell, a woman should have, there should be civility. Forget chivalry. Chivalry was the relationship between a knight and his horse. I looked that up. That comes from two words, chevalier and cheval. Those are French words. Chevalier means knight, and cheval refers to a horse. So chivalry is a combined word meaning the relationship between a knight and his horse. And so what I say today, there should be civility, which is common courtesy extended.
Okay.
Go ahead. What?
No, go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead.
civility. It means that both people exercise courtesy toward each other. Now, I got a good reception this morning. I went into a cackle of women. I discussed this issue, and they agreed. But what I said was, your faith without works is dead. So if you have faith for a man and you're not doing anything, if you're just sitting on your ass waiting for a relationship to be presented to you, you're violating a fundamental premise of what you say you believe. Faith without works is what? Dead.
Dead, yeah.
It's D-O-A. So and I'm talking to women who say they want a man. Get up off your lazy ass and start talking to men. You wouldn't say the same thing about a job. They'll say, well, it's the way you were conditioned. I say BS. It's what you consider an advantage or a power move for you. And most women don't consider initiating with men, to their advantage. Why? Because they want to be in control.
Right.
They want to be, it has nothing to do with most of the bovine scatology arguments that they give. It has to do with narcissism and their wanting to be in control. So this is what men need to say to women who want to be in a relationship. Either you create an environment where communication can flourish and flow between you and the man, or shut the hell up, because your faith without works is what? Dead.
Dead, yeah.
And they have, and finally I came across a woman the other day on the phone, though, not in real life, who actually admitted that women have to change, too, because communication, a lot of people think, is the key. I say it's not the key. It's a conduit. You can express yourself, but if that other person isn't responding, that is still communication. They're telling you they don't care about what you feel, about what you've said, about what you think. That's communication. And Rich is absolutely right. You have to communicate what I would consider to be your boundaries. Let people know, look, this is how I am. Let me know how you are. Let's see if we're compatible. But men aren't like that, because men are afraid of being lonely. Men don't value themselves. We are, and the protector and provider, it is a thing of nature versus nurture. I think it's more DNA than it is Skinnerism. In other words, the environmental influence. But it's reinforced by the environment. Our societal mores by telling us we've got to protect the woman. And I'm not protecting any bitch that I'm not married to. Is she going to protect me? No.
Yeah, but Joe, this is a minor point because most of your information, I agree with you about 97-98% of the time. Mm-hmm. But then you're countermanding your very argument that we're hardwired. You just said you won't protect a woman that's not yours, and I won't either. I used to stop and help women on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to another guy about this. And we came to the same conclusion. The women aren't worth it. Fuck them. If they're stranded on the side of the road, I've got to stop and help them out. They don't appreciate it. They have their little ass on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. I just cruise right on by. Now, if it's an old woman, that's a little bit of a different situation. But if it's a young woman,
I agree.
You know, I compliment women when they have dresses on now. And I'm having to teach my grandson is going through the training, Mr. Solution, where I'm teaching him how to be courteous to women. But I guess after I teach him all that, then I got to give him this particular how to treat women 101, huh?
Well, what you need to do is teach civility. Civility goes both ways. A woman is not deserving inherently any more of anything than a man is. That's what we've got to get. See, when women fought for equality, that's what they told us. Treat us how? Equally. Treat us equally. I've heard men who say they've opened the door for a woman and had a rude awakening. The woman, well, why are you opening the door for me? I can open my own door. I'm not an invalid. I'm not disabled. And the women are right. All right. Now, she may have been, an anal retentive, hussy or wench, but the point of it is men have got to disabuse them. So women have changed. Let's just make this clear. Women have changed. Women have left domesticity. At one time, there was a social contract between men and women with respect to social roles, social and family roles. Those have been eviscerated. Those have been totally decimated. They have been erased at women's behest. Women have said, we don't want these gender distinctions anymore.
Until it's convenient, yeah.
Excuse me?
I said until it's convenient for them to bring up the old gender roles, you know.
Well,
you're
right,
the man.
That's when we have to point out to that stupid inconsistency. But, Pianchi, let me just ask you, I've been meaning to ask you, are your origins U.S. or did you immigrate to the U.S., if you don't mind my asking?
No, my origins is here in the U.S.
Okay, because it sounded like you had ties, you know, cultural ties to someone. Were your mom and dad born here, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, one of them were, but I spent a lot of time in Africa. So
okay. I knew I sensed another cultural underpinning. That's the only reason I asked. Yeah, you should teach your granddaughter to be civil toward a man. Because, see, what that will do is ensure that she won't be a taker. It'll ensure that she is a balanced person as opposed to a taker, if you follow me.
Well, yeah, this is my grandson, but my daughter was taught that anyway. Like, when I tell people that my daughter chose two guys that she was interested in, I told her no. But, I spent a lot of time in different societies in Africa, whether it's Egypt or in Ethiopia or, of course, West Africa. And you get to see exactly basically what you're talking about, how there's a difference between here and there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, People are brought up in these cultures, and it's expected for a man to treat a woman in a particular way, and it's expected for her to act in a certain way too. Over there, young girls go to school, they wear their hair in a natural up until they graduate in elementary school. They don't wear all these different hairstyles and all that stuff. So
let me say something also when you were talking about. Try and introduce Rich's 101 to your grandson. I would say teach your son, how to respect women, but teach him how to respect himself. In other words, the woman, she's not, at no time is she allowed to slap him out of any type of anger. At no time is she supposed to raise her voice to him out of anger. She's supposed to treat him with the same type of regard and consideration and respect that he's supposed to endow upon her. So, but see, men don't get that kind of training. We get open the doors for the little ladies, protect them, provide for them. That's your role in life. And until we start waking up, we're going to go along with that. And then we wonder, why is the marriage lousy?
Well, one thing I teach him is to walk away. Because, like Rich said, women have everything to their advantage. So, and you know that yourself. You can't sit there and argue with one. Then they can holler out any damn thing. Who they going to believe, you or her?
Do you know that yelling and shouting is considered domestic violence now? Just yelling and shouting? In other words, a loud argument is considered domestic violence?
Well, that's not surprising. That is not surprising today. I mean, everything is so sensitive and has to be so politically correct. That's not surprising.
That's true. Let me make a point here, and I think this is a very practical point, and I agree with what you guys have been saying. And that is, you want the bitch to come out of a woman early on. You want her to show her hand. Now, there's a lady, I'm working with her. I call her Miss Ruth. I think she's about 75 years old. And one of the points she made was that women want this, and they get it from the church. She pointed this out too, mainly from the church. They want to be protected and provided for, but yet they want to produce these children outside of marriage. So they want the man to hold up his end of the contract, but they don't want to hold up theirs. And I thought that was a very good contrast and illumination. And what she was just simply dealing with is fairness. There has to be fairness and balance in a relationship. See, at one time, men had power. Men had legal and social power. They don't have that anymore because women fought for what? Equality, liberty. And so women were the ones who pursued obliterating the social roles between men and women. Now they want to cherry pick, as one guy said, they want a salad bar relationship. They want to choose what they want, which goes right back to the selfishness. But this is where men need to point that out to them. And men need to help change the laws. There should not be a law that allows a man to be punished and penalized for not registering for the Selective Service when women don't have to. And even President Barack Obama said, and he made it very personal, he said he wants his little girls to know that they have an obligation, operative word, to this great country, just like little boys do. And he was saying he felt that women should register for the Selective Service. And that would give women a better perspective, by the way. A lot of women who lay up on their asses and pop out kids, if they were introduced to the military, you know, is a microcosm of society at large. It has every profession in it that's in general society. And it's usually more accessible, especially to someone who's not wealthy. So a girl who would normally lay up on her ass and be a ward of the county by popping out a child could actually be introduced to the military, where she would get discipline and help build her self-esteem to become a valuable contributor to society.
And then accuse men of more rape, too.
Well, you know, that's a problem they have to work through, because, you know, you still have the old patriarchal attitudes in the military, but they need to adopt a fair standard across the board.
Exactly.
And women need to be able to say when they want to have sex. When I talk to women and I say, well, how do you communicate to a man you want to have sex? Silence. See, that's part of the bullshit. We know women like sex. I have the studies on human sexuality. And I know women. Women are as sexual as men are, but we allow them to play a game. So going back to reading, we need to illuminate these things once we learn them. Find the woman that's compatible, even though I know that's very difficult. But we've got to put the message out there. And once we do that, men and women can ultimately have an open and honest conversation, which they can't right now.
And going back to the laws.
Women are fogging up the discussion table with a bunch of bullshit.
And getting back to what you were talking about, Rich, about the laws, I know of a way in which the 53% problem that we have today for out of wedlock birth can be reduced drastically, is that if you change the law so that if a man and a woman actually can make a contract as to what will happen if the woman gets pregnant, whether or not she or he will have say in the abortion, guarantee you, pregnancy goes down and the out-of-wedlock births go down dramatically. Because
absolutely. But I believe, consistent with liberty, I don't think a man should be able to force a woman to carry a child she doesn't want. By the same token, mm-hmm. I don't believe a woman should be able to force a man into parenthood if he doesn't want it.
That's why you have a contract, so that people know up front, what is it that I'm going to do in the future based upon this particular situation?
Well, the contract would be fine, but let me just say this. I think if the law remained neutral on things that men and women need to discuss, men and women would figure it out. I have a great, whether it appears like it or not, I have a great deal of faith in the redeeming quality of men and women if they are allowed to communicate. Based on their research, Eric, based on their mature reasoning, if the law took its ass out of the equation, and remember, it's always in it for selfish reasons too, by the way.
Correct.
If the law got out of men and women's lives, in this particular area, they could work it out, and they would work it out. They did before.
Well, they did before because the laws weren't here. It's like that statement, you can't bribe an honest man. If the women are this rational, right? And they're considering, how do I actually have a good relationship with a good man as opposed to me? Then if the laws were introduced, they wouldn't take advantage of the laws. They could have all the laws on the books, but they would say, the laws don't apply to us, honey, because you and I can work it out. So I don't think that if you took the laws away, then the women would have to come to the bargaining table. But if the laws
are there.
But since the laws are there, if the women were rational, they wouldn't take advantage of the laws to take advantage of their mate. But they are, because they are irrational.
And what men can do, you should join men's groups. You should write your congressman and let them know how you feel about these one-sided abusive laws. And by the way, they violate your First, Fourth, Fifth, and Fourteenth Amendment rights. That's not legal advice, just educational and informational advice. But if you join with other men, because, see, women collaborated to get pussified men in the legislators to pass these bias laws. So you have to have these laws reversed. If you go out with a woman, let her know. She's I only go to coffee with women. I don't buy women.
Hear, hear.
I don't feel I owe it to a woman, a selfish woman, to buy her dinner. I won't accept a woman buying me dinner if I don't like her well enough to go out with her again. And maybe you guys heard about the woman in New York that had a spreadsheet where she was duping men into paying for her dinner to the tune of $1,200 per month. And I think this was off of Match.com. I'm almost sure that was it. Don't quote me on that. But you can look up the woman in New York that was duping men out of meals.
So men need to
say to women, hey, I want to converse with you. I want to have a conversation with you to see if I want to spend further time with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife's cousin, I heard her in a discussion with my wife and talking about the very same thing, and she was talking about the time she went out with a guy and knew how much money he had when they left the house. And she said she had a mental calculator going on so that she knew just how much he had spent. She was trying to spend every dime he had.
Wow. That's crazy.
Oh, here it is.
And where are the women? Why aren't the women on this show? They have quality men, some of the top men, not necessarily me, but they have some top men on this show. Why aren't their behinds here to talk about this situation? That's an open question.
I got a feeling you'd be a quality man for a woman, Rich, regardless of what they would say.
Regardless, huh?
Regardless, absolutely.
You know what, I think I would agree. yeah, I would agree.
He would treat a woman, very, very well if she appreciated
it. Like I say, he would definitely wouldn't be one of them pussified men, ain't that right?
Nope.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I only got 5 minutes left, and there go the bell. So I appreciate your comments as always, but I got to close it out now.
Okay. I looked it up, Rick, and read it now.
Mr. Solution, Joe Pianki, as always, man, y'all made a great show. I really appreciate it. And I always learn something from you guys.
Listen to the tape.
Mr. Solution, anytime we in, I'm always writing notes down. I'm on top. But I already got my Powernomics book. I'm reading that. I'm working on the rest of them. So I'm there, man. I'm there.
All right. Have a good one, gentlemen. Talk to you later.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See y'all tomorrow. All right.
See you next time.
Okay. Woo. All right, y'all. Once again, another great show. And I hope y'all actually got some very, very good information out of this, because I know I did. As far as why we don't read, you have some great points put out there. But the bottom line is, people, if you have kids, and you want them to read, that's it. You know, sit down and read with your kids. Y'all buy them all these nooks and tablets and things like that. Let them download some games. There's sites out there where you can download free books. Sit there and show them how to use it and let them read some of the things off their tablets. If you're buying them the technology, you might as well let them use it. You know what I mean? Hey, that's all I'm saying. But don't depend on nobody else. You sit down and read with your own child. You'd be surprised at what you can get with sitting there spending some time with the child. And who knows? You may actually learn something yourself. You know, now in the chat room, I put some things up to, you know, 10 things reading does help you do. You know, me and Mr. Solution, we kind of covered a lot of that in the beginning of the show. So, you know, the chat room will be open about 15 minutes after the show. So if you want to go back and take a look and read it, go right ahead. Go right ahead. Tomorrow, once again, we'll be on air again at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I don't know if I picked the subject out yet, but trust me, it'll be a good one. As always, who knows? We just may make it just strictly about women tomorrow. I don't know. But other than that, once again, I want to thank y'all for listening to Let's Talk. I am your host, Eric Jackson. Love y'all. And I see all y'all here the same time tomorrow. Until then, I'm out of here.